You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
We've had this old couch in our house for a while, and I don't know if you've had this experience like us, but you know, a couch kind of bears the time signature of your house, and you know, sometimes you get stains on it that you can't get off, or it starts to get clumpy, and it just doesn't, the shape isn't there anymore that used to be there. You just kind of sit down and you sink into the abyss. You need somebody to pull you out with a crane. So we decided we needed a new couch because this just wasn't working. We looked at the couch and said, this doesn't even look like a couch anymore. And so we said, you know, maybe we could get something a little bigger, maybe something that's easy to clean up after the kids, you know, spill whatever on it. Something that we can fit our whole family on, some guests, some family that comes over the house, and maybe something that has the new couch smell. How many like the new couch smell? But the problem was this. We couldn't, if we wanted to get the new couch in, we had to take the old couch out. We had to take some stuff out of the living room. Anybody ever been there before? And so we had to take the old out to get the new in. And I find a lot of times in our lives, there's really a similarity with that. If we want to add something new, something great, something maybe that God is doing into our life, there's some things we have to take out to make room. So I want to talk to you today about making room. If you're taking notes today, you can write down just at the top, making room. And we sang this song before because I really believe this is something kind of in this season for us that God wants to get across to us, because he wants to add some things to us. He wants to give us some new things in this season, bless us with some new things, take us to some new places, do some new things with us, but we have to make room for that. So when you want to add something new, you have to take something out. We've been on this real incredible series called Undivided. And so I'll catch you up. I'll give you the quick encapsulated version if you haven't been a part of the series. And that is, it's from the prayer of David in Psalm 86:11, where he said, God, give me an undivided heart so that I can better honor you, so that I can better follow you. Because in life, it's easy for us to get all spread out, all over the place. And so we realize at certain points in our lives, we have to kind of assess and bring our focus back down and make sure that we're focusing on God like we should. And that was really the prayer of David. That's really the prayer of this series, is God, give me an undivided heart. So sometimes when your life and all of our lives at different times gets cluttered with different things, we have to make some space, make some room. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And so, since we got a lot of babies in the room, I want to tell a little story of when, how many people have been to birthing class, you know? That's just a funny thing, all right? Birthing class, you know, they teach you how to breathe, and they teach you what to do and what not to do, and how not to get stressed out at the hospital, amen? How not to come 23 hours early to the hospital, amen? But one of the parts that really stood out to me is this part where they gave us a plate and they gave us beans. 24 beans they gave us. And so they said, subdivide these beans on your plate, and however many hours you take to sleep, or however many hours you take to go to work, how many hours you take getting dressed or doing leisure activities, subdivide these beans like that. Now add a baby. It's going to take you this many hours to do this. It's going to take you that many hours. You're going to change the diaper this many times. You're going to feed the baby this many times. And so you have to reconfigure all your beans. You had to make some room for the baby. I think a lot of times what happens with us is we try to add more of God into our lives, but we don't have any space. We don't have any bandwidth, any room for God to do anything new in our lives, because we're trying to add without taking anything out. Now, we have a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old, and I told this story earlier, got kind of corrected by my wife. She said, don't make our children sound like they're not coordinated. We have a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. It's okay. I'm going to try to stay out of trouble today. And we have this water spigot in our, you know, it's like one of those filter water things in the on the in the kitchen. So you turn it and you put it in the cup, and it's not a difficult thing for an adult to do. You see how much water you need and you put it in there. But for a 5 and a 7 year old, sometimes they get it right. Sometimes they get it. Am I doing better? Sometimes they get it right. They do get it right sometimes, but sometimes they get it wrong. They fill it up to capacity, and then they fill it up past capacity. So there's water all over the floor. So, and I'm not talking about a paper towel job. I'm talking about a grab a towel, a whole towel, and clean it up. But that's what we do in our lives a lot of times, is our cup is full to capacity, and we try to add more. And you can pour all day. You can pour great stuff in. But if you're full to capacity already, it's just going to end up on the floor. Whatever valuable, whatever new, whatever precious new thing that you're trying to pour in. And if you're trying to pour something new in with God, it's not going to fit if you don't have capacity in your cup. If you don't have space in your life. So if you want to grow, you're going to have to cut some things out. But the funny thing that I found about cutting stuff out is it doesn't always have the effect that we think it's going to have. Because we think, oh man, I'm going to have to cut this out. I'm going to have to cut that out. But really, once we've cut it out, no matter how important we thought it was, when we look back in retrospect, we say, man, this really pales in comparison to the new thing that God is doing in my life that I've made space for. So whatever it is, how precious, however precious, how important it seems to be, and I know a lot of us have cut stuff out of our lives because we always start with the easy stuff first, right? And cut out this TV show that really doesn't matter that much. And cut this out, cut a little here, trim a little there, and put stuff in. But then when we start getting to some of the more valuable things, some of the stuff we kind of hold close to the heart, it's difficult to tear those things away to make more space in a new season. You know, I like what the Apostle Paul says in Hebrews 12. 12:1, he says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Now, I find it interesting that Paul gives us two things. He says we need to throw off, and of course he says sin. We know we need to throw away stuff that's sin, stuff that's wicked, stuff that's evil, right? Get that out. But then he also kind of highlights this area, says stuff that hinders. So this is stuff that maybe it's not a bad thing, but it's something that getting in the way of your growth or getting in the way of your progress or in this season or running the race that God has given you. Sometimes there's things that they're taking up bandwidth. They're taking up space in your living room and you need to get them out. Not because they're bad, but because in this season, it's hindering what God is trying to do. So we have to make room. I love this. When we experience what God has for us, I'm telling you, everything else that we had to cut away really pales in comparison. There's an old song that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonder and grace, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So when we, as Paul says, fix our eyes on Jesus, it becomes easier to throw off not just the sin, but throw off the stuff that hinders, that fills our life up. You know, it's like empty calories in our life. Amen. Some stuff you can do without. But you know what? The responsibility at the end of the day falls on us to take these leaps of faith as the Holy Spirit leads to cut something out, to make a sacrifice here, to make a sacrifice there, to make room. And it's a daring gesture of faith to cut something out of your life that's currently important to you. But the Holy Spirit, I love the Holy Spirit because he takes us on a journey. Just like Jesus, when Jesus came to his disciples, he didn't say, hey guys, you're going to have to lay down your life. It could cost you your life. He didn't lead with that one. Amen. He led with, come and follow me. I'll show you how to be better fishermen. And so the Holy Spirit deals with us in a similar way. He says, come here. Just cut this out. And I'm going to add something greater to your life. And then a little while down the road, in a different season, he'll say, you know what? Why don't you cut this out? because I have something better for you in this area. So the Holy Spirit takes us on a journey, right? The Bible says takes us from glory to glory, you know, from victory to victory. And the Holy Spirit takes us on a journey to where he's not asking us to cut everything out all in one season. And thank God for that. But there's a reason for every time he says to make space for something new. Because he always has something greater. Say, make room. Look at somebody and say, make room. You know, the thing, though, about cutting things out and making room for something new is always uncomfortable. How many can say amen to change? Big change or important change is always uncomfortable. It's never easy. It's never like, oh, man, guess what, guys? I made this change. It's always something that is an uncomfortable process. It's going to take work. It's going to take effort. It's going to take some discomfort. You know, but it doesn't matter what your goals or ambitions are in life. If you don't have the willpower to change what you need to change to get there, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your goals are. It doesn't matter what your dreams are. It doesn't matter what your potential is. If you're not willing to change whatever is needed to make space for the new thing, then you'll never experience it. It takes the uncomfortable work of change. Uncomfortable, but beneficial. When we make room for God, it is oftentimes uncomfortable, but it is highly beneficial. I think this is the reason why many habits don't stick. You see people making these things, these big statements at the beginning of the year, and a lot of them don't stick, right? These new resolutions, they don't stick because there's no room. There's no room for them to stick. And I think that's so important. Growing in the Spirit is no different. We have to make room. And I really believe that this is a season where God wants his children, his sons and daughters, to really grow. To really grow. He wants to add new things in, new blessings, new habits, new lifestyles. But it takes cutting away things. There's something powerful about when we really get focused on God, having an undivided focus. And I was just thinking about some of these major athletes. You know, we just watched the World Cup, and before that was the finals, the NBA finals. And, you know, I think about Hall of Famers or gold medalists. They have this one thing in common, and that's this undivided focus on their sport. You know, and to get somewhere, anywhere great, you have to have this undivided focus. Like David was talking about, give me an undivided heart, an undivided focus. And I think about these athletes and how they train extensively and all the sweat equity and all the workouts and all the going over the fundamentals tirelessly. If you look at these athletes' life, there's not a lot of room because they've continued to cut things away. There's not a lot of room for much else besides the sport itself. There's the eating, right? Eating, sleeping, a few basic things that they do, and then there's sport. Great athletes, it's all about the sport. And so a so-called normal person could look at that athlete and say, man, you're completely out of balance. You're completely, you know, your life doesn't make sense. And I think this is the cry, of course, of our generation. Do you have a good work-life balance, right? Are you well-balanced in what you're doing? But the problem is, a lot of times, is who is defining balance to you? Who is defining balance to me? A lot of times we're taking our cues from society. We're taking the social cues. So the problem is, if you have a calling of greatness from God, and then you have people around you that are saying, you need to be balanced. The important thing is, who is defining balance in your life? I believe if we want to do great things in life, if we want to be great in God or grab hold of the great things that God has for us, we have to be balanced in the way that God shows us and not others try to apply to our life. True greatness comes from balance that God gives, and that oftentimes looks out of balance to the world. So it's okay. You can count yourself in great company. Because if so-called normal people will look at somebody that's an athlete and say, man, that person's out of balance, they'll probably look at you if you're doing great things and say, you're out of balance. You know, it's all right for us to draw this sports analogies because the Apostle Paul did the same thing in 1 Corinthians 9:24. He said, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. Look at somebody say, run to win. All the athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I think about that. I think about running with purpose. If we can look at these great athletes and what they have sacrificed in their life for a prize that will fade away, I don't care how much of a sports buff you are. You go back far enough and you won't remember the statistics. I mean, you might be good 10 years, 20 years. If I start asking you about specifics about 30 years ago a game, you won't be able to be there. 40 years. There's a cutoff. We're dealing with, when we talk about the spiritual things that have an eternal significance. Paul says, run the race in such a way that you'll win it. People that are winners put forth more effort than the average person. Think about your favorite athlete right now, somebody that you love to watch them play the sport, and you'll think, man, they put forth more effort than most anybody on the field. To win the race, you have to do whatever it takes. I think people that win in the race of life or win in an athletic event are people that do whatever it takes. They'll change habits. They'll change the lifestyle. They'll change what they're doing, how they're doing it, anything to give them an edge in the race. But you know what? With all that God has called us to do, the great thing is you have a coach. And his name is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that helps us. He's the one that touches our hearts and encourages us to be able to make the sacrifices when we need to make sacrifices, to make room. The Holy Spirit is the one that touches our heart and gives us the strength to go to the uncomfortable place so that we can make more room. The Holy Spirit, when he touches our heart, we're willing to make sacrifices that we wouldn't normally be willing to make. When he touches our hearts, we begin to want him more than we want things. When the Holy Spirit touches our heart, we begin to want him, and that becomes our focus. Will you bow your heads with me for a moment? I know that in life, we're oftentimes juggling a lot of balls, a lot of responsibilities, lots of relationships, adult relationships, relationships with our kids, relationships with our spouses. But if we can get back to this place, if we can kind of make an assessment today and say, God, I want to kind of refocus my heart today. Holy Spirit, help to coach me in the right direction. Touch my heart that I'd be willing to make a little bit more room for you in this season of my life so that I can really grab hold of all that you have for me. I believe we serve a God that's a good God. He loves you. He wants to bless you. He's faithful to his people. And he's waiting to increase, to help you walk into the fullness of your destiny. But our part is making space, making room for him so that he can, our relationship with him can grow. So Father, I thank you, Lord, for each and every person that's here today. God, it's never an accident who you have in your house. So Father, I talk to each and every person today and I pray for them that you touch their heart in a special way, Lord, that God, that they would make room for you to do what, Father, you want to do in their lives. God, which is, as your word says, to bless them, to give them hope, to give them a future. if there's things are hindering us, even if they're not overtly bad things, God. God, help us to throw those things off. Help us to just cut those things out. The things that are taking up space in our lives that we could dedicate, that we could open up for a new, fresh season for you.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.